Hello, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. In a world where weight loss is a top health concern and the quest for an effective, easy, and permanent solution is never ending, Dr. Neil Barnard joins us today for a refreshing perspective. His new book, The Power Foods Diet, challenges traditional dieting with a simple, revolutionary idea. Weight loss can be natural, easy, and satisfying by just choosing the right foods. His research showcases foods that diminish appetite, block calorie absorption, and boost calorie burning after meals. This approach allows you to enjoy real foods, including those that are labeled off-limits, like potatoes and pasta. Today, he's going to be debunking some of these common myths that we keep hearing about seemingly healthy foods that may actually hinder your weight loss. If you're tired of all the calorie counting, yo-yo, starve yourself, fad diets, you're in the right place. Dr. Neil Barnard joins us next. Stay tuned. It all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is an adjunct professor at the George Washington University School of Medicine and the driving force behind the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. A trailblazer in medical research, he's reshaped our understanding of type 2 diabetes through innovative studies that highlight the power of diet in reversing the disease. With over 100 scientific articles and 20 groundbreaking books, he's also been at the forefront of advancing nutrition education through his esteemed position as the editor-in-chief of the Nutrition Guide for Clinicians. In addition, he's earned a fellowship at the American College of Cardiology and founded the Barnard Medical Center, which integrates nutrition into medical practice. His new book is called The Power Foods Diet, the breakthrough plan that traps, tames, and burns calories for easy and permanent weight loss. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Neil Barnard.
Well, thank you, Dr. Friedman. It's great to be with you today.
Yeah, great to have you back. Now, your latest book, fantastic read. I was telling you before we started, it's just so well-crafted, refreshing escape from all these weight loss books that demand starvation and willpower. It's so great to see some good food there. Tell us about the inspiration behind the Power Foods Diet.
Well, you know, we've been, in recent years, been shifting away from the idea that you've got to starve the weight off, because so many people have tried really low-calorie diets, and it's just hard to sustain that for very long. And you get really hungry, and your metabolism slows down in the process. So what's been the shift is people have shifted more toward looking at dietary patterns. What are healthier foods? So plant-based diets are better than meat-based diets, for example. But the latest thing that has come in our research and that of other researchers is that there are actually certain specific foods that when you bring them in, you're going to tend to lose weight. And these foods do one of three things. They either reduce your appetite. In other words, they fill you up and you're not hungry anymore, but you've eaten fewer calories. They tame your appetite. Or some of them actually trap calories in your digestive tract so you can't absorb them. And some of them also will boost your metabolism so that after a meal, you're burning calories faster. The Power Foods Diet just says, well, let's take the foods that do that, whether they're spices or specific foods or a fruit or a vegetable, whatever it is, and let's build them into our routine so that instead of us trying to knock the weight off, the foods do the work for us and it becomes easy and it becomes permanent.
That's great. And now you mentioned some appetite regulating foods. Can you share an example for the listeners? What food actually curtails the desire for food?
Yeah, let me actually give some credit to our friends at Harvard who did some amazing work. Back in 2015, they did a study where they tracked more than 100,000 people. They were health professionals and they tracked what they ate. And they noticed that if they ate more of certain foods, they actually tended to lose weight. In other words, it wasn't that they were avoiding foods, but the more they brought certain specific foods into their routine, the more weight they lost. And in fact, let me just give you the top of the list, and I can share you the whole list. At the top of the list was the modest, unassuming little blueberry. Blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, blackberries, the whole berry group was at the top of the weight loss list, meaning the more of this you ate, the more weight you lost. Let me give you some others real quick. Cruciferous vegetables like broccoli or Brussels sprouts or cauliflower. Green leafy vegetables like spinach or maybe asparagus, something like that. Citrus fruits, surprisingly, the fruit or the juice, either one seemed to work. Melons like cantaloupe watermelon, and the bean group, the whole bean group, beans, peas, lentils, all seem to help. But back on the blueberry, when it was found, the question was, how's a blueberry going to make you lose weight? And what we believe is happening is that the color of it, the anthocyanins, that's the pigment in a blueberry, it turns out to be a powerful antioxidant. And in research studies in the UK, with almost 3,000 identical twins, researchers found that the twin who ate the most anthocyanins had about 9% less abdominal fat and overall less body fat compared to her genetically identical sister. So we started to identify these foods. The anthocyanins do seem to have an appetite-taming effect, but it's not just that. And that may not even be the most important thing, because they also seem to be a metabolic booster in a way. Cinnamon also has been identified. It seems to be a metabolic booster too.
You bring up something, fruits and berries, but I'm telling you, a lot of people, I hear from patients every day, they're told to avoid fruit because it contains fructose, which is sugar, and that is going to make you fat. In your book, you really advocate fruit consumption. Share where this fear started. Why do people think that eating fruit's going to make them fat?
Back in the 1950s, the Atkins diet came out, and there have been a million variants of it ever since then. And the idea is that if you don't eat carbohydrate, you'll lose weight. And that, of course, is true, because carbohydrate is more than half of what people eat. So if you take out all of the fruit and you take out all of the bread and all the rice and all the potatoes and all the foods that have carbohydrate in them, people do tend to lose weight. And so that got people to go a little overboard and thinking that there was something wrong with carbohydrate, that there really isn't. And a berry has healthy sugars in it, healthy carbohydrates in it. And those are actually the foods our bodies were most built for. You know, we like to imagine that we're cats or dogs and that we're natural carnivores and that meat is what we should be eating. But the fact is, biologically, whether we like to admit it or not, we are great apes, like chimpanzees or gorillas or orangutans or bonobos. That's our family. And if you look at what they eat, they are eating fruit far and away more than anything else, as long as others, primarily plant foods.
And I always say, I've never seen anybody come in that's overweight. I have this big, giant gut of too many apples and too many oranges. I just don't see it. It's like, where did this come from? It's like, nobody can get obese from eating apples.
Well, you know, it's true. It's funny you'd say that, because researchers have actually tested exactly that. There are people who have said, no, an apple is because it's got sugar in it. I can't be eating this. This will cause problems. Researchers put this to the test by bringing in a large group of volunteers and asking them to eat 3 apples every day, day after day after day. And the whole idea was, how much weight are you going to gain by eating all this extra fruit? I don't know how many people would ever eat 3 apples in one day, let alone every single day. But the answer was, how much weight do you gain from adding all this extra fruit? The answer is 0. You don't gain weight at all. What happens is that your weight falls because you are satisfying your appetite with a food that frankly has a lot of fiber and a lot of water, and it tends to just fill you up without a whole lot of calories. So apples actually are a power food. They do great. And not just apples. I mean, their cousins, the pear on the neighboring tree, has the same kind of effect.
Yeah, interesting. They said that. What are some common foods people believe are healthy and support weight loss, but they're actually doing the opposite? Any myths you can bust?
Oh, I'm going to break your heart here. So many people go to the store and they pick up some salmon and they think, this is the perfect one. It's got good fat. When people do that, they very often find that their weight loss just stops cold. They're just having terrible trouble losing weight while they're eating the salmon. They think, why is that? It's got good fat. And the answer is not hard to find. Atlantic salmon is 40% fat. And Chinook salmon is over 50% fat. And every fat gram has 9 calories in it. So salmon will fill you up, but because it doesn't have any fiber, it doesn't have any complex carbs, what it's filling you up with is a mixture of animal protein and animal fat. And by the time you get full, you've taken in a lot of calories. So when people feed the salmon to their cat and they instead eat beans and grains and vegetables and fruits and these things, there's so much fiber that it fills you up with far fewer calories.
Interesting. And that's wild caught and farm raised, both. So those are two things to stay away from if you want to lose weight.
And one other thing, we see coconut oil being promoted a lot. And you can understand why. I mean, it has sort of a buttery mouth feel. And so manufacturers like it. They throw it in peanut butter to make the peanut butter more smooth and buttery. But coconut oil and palm oil will raise your cholesterol. The manufacturers have argued about this and said, no, these are natural. They're da-da-da-da. But they've been put to the test over and over again, and they do raise your cholesterol. Plus, they have 9 calories in every gram. So we are encouraging people to minimize oils in general, but with the coconut oil and palm oil, I'm sorry to say, I have to say, shine your shoes with it, polish your car with it, put a little coconut oil in your hair. It'll slick it down really nice, but I would not eat it.
Would not eat it. But that's great. I know in your book, interesting, you discuss alcohol. Wine contains resveratrol, which is heart healthy. We've heard it improves longevity. And now research shows wine, even in moderation, is not good for us. Some are calling it toxic. Share why alcohol should not be in a power foods diet. Should people not reach for that glass of vino?
There's something good that you could say about it. And look at that red color in a glass of red wine or something like that. There are natural good things in, say, that glass of wine. You mentioned resveratrol. There are a number of polyphenols in wine that may be actually helpful for us. However, as the grape was bringing these wonderful chemicals to you naturally, somebody decided to ferment the grape juice, and that produced another chemical called alcohol. And all of the other chemicals are great, but the alcohol gives you breast cancer. It increases the risk of colorectal cancer and other things. So I hate to say this because it makes us sound like party poopers, but the research has come in and it's really pretty clear that if you are a person who likes a drink, it's better to keep it modest and intermittent rather than have it be your daily kind of go-to, let me relax after a day's work with alcohol, because it regrettably, it does have these issues.
Got it. So grape juice, not grape juice fermented. Correct.
Yeah, and the grapes are fine. And I'm not suggesting that alcohol causes a big increase in body weight. I don't really think it does. The issues just are primarily with regard to cancer risk are probably the biggest issues.
Yeah, I think, as you mentioned, when people drink wine and it's social and they drink another and they get hungry, it does stimulate, it relaxes you more. And I've had people say, you know, once I get that second, third glass of wine, I'm starving. I want to just keep munching. So you're right. I think it's got to be toned down a bit. By the way, I was happy to see your book discussing Ozempic and Wegovy, you know, now a big trend for weight loss. So it made it in the book, which is great. Share why you're not a fan of people going this route.
Well, you know, you can understand why these drugs are marketed. Your body naturally makes a compound called GLP-1. Your digestive tract makes it. And it makes it at one time. The time is when you are eating foods. You're eating foods. The food goes down your digestive tract. It triggers GLP-1 to go into your blood. The GLP-1 then goes up to your brain. And GLP-1 is your brain's natural appetite turnoff switch. So the GLP-1 from your gut tells your brain, hey, look, I'm eating now. I got a lot of food on board. You can cool it with all this hunger stuff because I'm eating. I got it. So it turns off your appetite. Now, you can't market it because it's natural. So Novo Nordisk makes Ozempic and Wegovy. And that's a GLP-1 agonist. It's synthetic. It's very strong and it does cause weight loss. However, we discovered in our research studies, and let me give the credit here where it's due, Hanna Kaliova is an endocrinologist who heads our research studies. And she and her team tested different meals and for their ability to elicit GLP-1 release. Eat a burger and a whole lot of nothing happens. A meat-based meal doesn't really trigger GLP-1 very well. What triggers it is high fiber foods, high complex carbohydrate foods. So she tried a plant-based meal and found that in contrast to the meaty meal, the GLP-1 release just spikes. So do it naturally. And if you're gaining weight and you're not getting GLP-1, you think, yeah, I got to go to the drugstore to inject it, wait, stop. Go to the farm. Get the foods from the produce department that will give you some natural GLP-1. The reason we're concerned about Wegovy, obviously, is side effects is one, which are usually not too bad. Nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. For some people, they go away. For some people, they don't. The big issue is that you lose weight and you're really impressed, but then you stop becoming impressed because your weight loss stops continuing. It kind of plateaus and you think, well, I'm not quite where I want to be. You know, what am I doing wrong? And can I increase my dose? The doctor says, no, you're on the maximum dose. And then you say, well, why don't I just stop the drug now? And your doctor says, no, you can't stop it. Because when you stop it, that weight comes back. So what do I do? Well, I have to take it forever. How much does it cost? $15,600 a year. What? So that's the bind that people get in with it. And what we're discovering is that you can have effective weight loss without needing to mortgage the farm.
Yeah. And not only that, the power foods diet is so much more appealing than pharmaceuticals. Just as I said it, you don't have to dive in deeper. Just the sound of that. It's like, yeah, power whole foods, delicious foods that achieve the same thing. You're not trapped on end. You don't plateau. You just stay there. And you know what? It's easy to maintain because you keep eating these wonderful foods that you have. Let me ask you this important thing. With the paleo carnivore diets, they advocate that saturated fat from animal foods, not bad for us. Eating mostly animal proteins, the best way to lose weight. And they lose weight. They come in the office and what's your comeback for that? It's like, yeah, you lost weight, but blank. Fill in what's the negativity about it.
Well, first of all, most people don't lose weight with that way. Most people are already eating like a caveman and it's not really working for them. But the paleo diet, the carnivore diet, those are sort of a tipping the hat to men's macho desire to, you know, pretend that they're a hunter-gatherer, you know, in their loincloth with a spear. In some cases, it ends up being a low-carb diet because they're not eating grains. One thing to their credit, in some of these diets, they will say, well, dairy products are highly processed. I'm not going to eat dairy. That's a good idea because if you avoid cheese, you avoid 70,000 calories a year. That's the cheese intake people eat. Let me lure you into something else. The foods that we are promoting are, I'm going to argue, the most delightful food you can imagine. Blueberries cause weight loss. Cinnamon causes weight loss. So we're going to make French toast. And Lindsay Nixon and Dustin Harder, who are the recipe developers for this book, came up with the most wonderful cinnamon French toast and a cinnamon blueberry syrup, which is easy to make. It's blueberries, a little vanilla extract, some cinnamon, a little maple syrup thrown in. Everybody's favorite meal, but we make it in a slimming way with the power foods. Or for lunch, how about some lentil soup or some mango dal? Or for dinner, for everybody who thought, I can never enjoy pasta again, I've got a pasta arrabbiata that will knock your socks off. You know, arrabbiata, that's Italian for angry, but to a chef, it means spicy. So I've got a beautiful pasta arrabbiata. I've got a Southwest chili. I've got, for dessert, carrot cake. Yes, built with power foods. I've got a triple berry sorbet made with strawberries, blueberries, raspberries, a little bit of banana, a little cherry juice in there. You blend it really well, freeze it, and it comes out this killer sorbet. It's like an ice cream, but it's lighter, delicious, and bright purple. And if you got the neighbor kids coming over and you know they're eating a lot of junk, make my blueberry pops. They're made with blueberries, a couple bananas, a pear, almond milk, lemon juice. That's it. Put it in your blender. Blend it up really nicely. And you put it in the ice cube trays if you want, or you can put it in a, you can get popsicle type forms at the store. You put a little stick in them. The neighborhood's kids come over. They're all 12 years old and they are all screaming because you've got these purple pops for them to eat. And you're proud of it because they're delicious. I've got black and blue brownies for you. I call them blue because they've got a little blueberry in them. And they have a trace of black beans, which sounds crazy in a blueberry, but it makes them really, it gives them a beautiful texture and gooiness. So anyway, all these foods, they don't sound like diet foods. But when people eat them, the foods power up their metabolism, reduce their appetite, trap calories so you can't absorb them.
Yeah, I love that you encourage people to eat. And this is not deprivation. The things, you know, the recipe is unbelievable. It's, if you look at these, it's like, wow, how am I going to lose weight doing what's so delicious? And you've come up with a way where it doesn't have to be the word die and diet. It's people, you don't have to. But interesting, you know, you encourage people to eat, not eat. And this comes at a perfect time considering there's a new study just came out showcasing how time-restricted eating is linked to a 91% higher risk of cardiovascular death. Share why these food deprivation diets aren't ideal. And they're so common, Doc. It's so popular.
It's not a bad idea to give your gut a rest. You know, and when people decide, okay, I'm not going to be eating, I'm going to stop eating at 5 o'clock, I won't eat till tomorrow, or whatever, I'll do intermittent fasting, so a couple days every week I'll eat less food. You know, you can understand that, and that's not a bad idea, but what we are seeing now is that, let's say on Thursday and Friday every week, I'm going to do a semi-fast. Well, if I do that every Thursday and Friday, what happens on Wednesday is I start anticipating that I'm about to go on a fast, and so I tend to overeat, because the fast is coming up. And then I'll fast on Thursday and Friday, and on Saturday, I'm no longer fasting. So we tend to overdo it there too. And so the first couple of weeks work great, but then after that, people tend to overcompensate. And that's unfortunately a problem.
Yeah, I've been seeing the one meal a day a lot. And I'll tell you, I got patients, they're so unhealthy. They eat once, 23-hour starvation, and they eat once a day. And I don't know. I've been talking to Dr. Amen, and he says, that's bad for the brain, the brain health. You can't deprive your body of food for 23 hours. So I'm with you on this. I love that you have breakfast, you have lunch, you have dinner. It's like just eat and enjoy. I love the whole concept. One thing that's a controversy they've been hearing a lot about is coffee. Some experts say it's bad. Others say the morning java protects from disease and is the key to longevity. What's your view on coffee when it comes to good health or even successful weight loss? Yay or nay?
I'm going to say coffee's okay. Now, I say this without prejudice. I am not a coffee drinker. It just was never my thing. But I have to say, I think it's okay. It does boost the metabolism slightly. Over time, people accommodate to that, so the effect is pretty minimal. But the coffee, it only becomes a problem when you start putting stuff into it that's a problem. Yes, the creamer is high in fat and sugar, and that's not going to help you. The coffee itself, I don't think is an issue. I think it's really all the additives that are the issue.
Good point. You know, you mentioned a lot of these recipes and mouthwatering, and I know a lot of people thinking, yeah, sounds good, but man, I just don't have enough time to cook at home, and they choose the convenience of cheap fast food route. What advice do you give that using that four-letter word time as an excuse not to enjoy these recipes?
Half the people that I see are in exactly that category. Some of them like to cook a little bit. Nobody wants to spend hours in the kitchen, but the recipes are marked. Some of them are easy. Most of them are what we call easy. That means there's a little preparation involved, but not much. Some of them are marked elegant. That's when people are coming over. So for your brunch, get out the mint leaf and put that on the French toast. A little spritz of confectioner's sugar on the French toast. Three different berries in little tiny dishes. We've got those too. Great. But we also have meals for people who want convenience foods, period. That's what I want. And a person will say to me, I'll have spaghetti, but I'm going to use a spaghetti sauce out of a jar. I'm going to have split pea soup out of a can. You can do that, and I'm going to show you which ones to pick. And if you are at Subway, Taco Bell, Wendy's, yes, there are foods there that work. You just have to know which are the ones that work against you and which are the power foods that can work for you. If you're at Taco Bell, have the bean burrito, hold the cheese, fine, really high in fiber. It will fill you up without a huge amount of calories. Go to Wendy's, get the baked potato, put some salsa on top. There are choices that work. I don't care how busy you are. You're going to eat somewhere. And if you make the right choice, you can slim down.
I love that. So you basically have no excuses. So, hey, here's what you do if you go to Wendy. I love that. That's a great concept. But, you know, a lot of people, I hear that they can follow a healthy eating regimen during the day, no problem. They're structured. It's when they get home, they plop themselves in front of the TV, they crave on healthy comfort foods. What would you recommend they reach for instead of potato chips, pretzels, and buttered popcorn?
Well, first of all, do make sure that you've planned your dinners. Let's say it's the weekend and the week is coming up and you know you're going to be busy and that's your schedule. Make foods, make extra foods. We've got lots and lots of delicious foods. So if you make a big bowl of chili, make extra so that you'll have it on Tuesday and Wednesday. Also, stock up, buy a lot of fruit. Keep apples around. Get a melon, take that or cantaloupe, and don't just leave it whole. Cut it up, put it in little cubes in your fridge. Get some bananas, get some grapes, get some food so that the abundance is around you. We eat what's convenient, and those happen to be the foods that love you back. So you might be hungry. You might think, man, I really want a candy bar. I really want some pork rinds. Great, but you didn't buy them, so they're not there, and the banana is there. And when you eat it, you get healthy, complex carbs that are going to love you back, and you're going to lose weight.
Yeah, good point. I have an issue with noshing. I like to that's why popcorn is my go-to, one after the other, So I chopped up cucumbers and celery in little pieces, put some spices on there, squeeze a little lemon, and I do one by one, and it satisfies me. It gets that hand-to-mouth, that slow, and it's crunchy, and man, that was my secret. So, and that's as much as you want.
And there's nothing wrong with popcorn itself. Popcorn is another one. Popcorn is corn. Where we run into trouble is with the toppings on it. When we were kids, we'd go to the movies, get the popcorn, butter, yeah. And they put it on like Niagara Falls. That's a problem.
That's so true. Hey, I'm curious, if you're on a deserted island, you only had access to three power foods, which would you choose to sustain your health with enough nutrients to keep you thriving? What's the magic three? And that's your meals.
Well, let me say, there are more than 120 in the book. So I hope a person has never stuck with three. But there's a reason that I mentioned French toast, because the French toast in the book is my favorite breakfast. I just love it. And everybody loves it as well. I'm kind of an Italian guy when it comes to dinner. So I like the pasta dishes, which you'll see, and the pizzas that we have in there, I think are great. So wait, that's only two. I'm already happy. My black and blue brownies are funny. I mentioned them because they've got a little bit of black bean, a little bit of blueberries. And I don't know where the black beans go, because once you take them out of the oven, they're not there anymore. but they are just killer great. But if I'm serving other people, I think probably the dessert people love the most is the carrot cake. They just go crazy for that one. For some, I don't know why, but they do.
That's awesome. What about lack of energy? Everyone seems to be so tired a lot. Is there any food that you recommend that increases your stamina and endurance? What's your go-to for, you know, like before you get on this podcast? I'm kind of yawning. I need something. What are you going to grab to boost your energy?
Okay, here's the issue that a lot of people run into. They're eating a meal, and take the Thanksgiving syndrome. It's 2 o'clock. They ate their Thanksgiving lunch, and they're all falling asleep in front of the TV set. And it is not because of the tryptophan in the turkey. You hear people say that. That is not it. What is caused by is all the gravy, all the butter in the pumpkin pie, all those things cause fat particles to get in your bloodstream. It makes your blood thicker. It makes your blood more viscous. And so your blood will no longer adequately oxygenate your brain. Your blood is kind of one step away from Vaseline. And so your brain is not oxygenating. And the more viscous your blood is because of all the fat you ate at lunch, the more you're going to fall asleep. Don't take my word for it. Tomorrow, let's say, or for the next few days, avoid animal products completely just as a test, because now there is zero animal fat in your diet. And keep oils in general really low. And look at the recipes we've got. And just notice how you feel. Yes, you're going to be losing weight, but you will discover that you are awake and energetic all afternoon. Look at people who need endurance, like Novak Djokovic, the number one tennis player. He's got to be able to be, when he goes out, you know, at the semifinals at Wimbledon, he's got to be ready to play for 3 hours if that's how long the thing is. He doesn't need animal products at all. And he can oxygenate his brain and oxygenate his muscles. We're seeing lots of athletes going in the same direction.
Yeah, great info. What about cognitive decline becoming so common? Is there a public enemy number one? When you see people eating or drinking a specific thing, you cringe your eyes and go, wow, that's destroying your brain. Is there number one out there that you say we should get rid of?
Yeah, there is. The Chicago Health and Aging Study back in 2003 tracked what people in Chicago were eating, and they tracked who developed Alzheimer's disease and who didn't. And the number one thing was saturated fat. That's the solid fat. In the number one source is dairy. So dairy fat is number one. Number two, it's in meat. So, you know, when I was a kid, my mother would cook up bacon, and that bacon grease, she would save it after the bacon was done. She would save it in a jar, and you could watch it solidify as it cooled down to room temperature. And the fact that it is solid, like wax at room temperature, is a clear sign that it is loaded with saturated fat, and that when people eat a lot of saturated fat, their risk of dementia is 2 to 3 times higher than other people. Foods that are high in metals, unfortunately, too much iron in the diet, so liver, red meat, those are certainly issues. Something that's helpful, vitamin E seems to be helpful. If you have about one small handful a day of some nuts or seeds, the vitamin E can reduce the risk of Alzheimer's. The danger with nuts and seeds is they're pretty fatty too, so it can slow down your weight loss, unfortunately. Lacing up your sneakers is good. Exercise protects the brain, and using your brain helps. People who study languages, 2 languages, English and something else, your risk of cognitive decline is deferred by about 5 years. We know that from bilingual people in Canada. If you speak 3 languages, even better. So fire up those neurons and see what you can do to protect them.
Yeah, good info. I've got a 98-year-old patient, plays golf, drives sharp as an I mean, just sharp as a tack. And of course, I'm an observer. I got to know, what do you eat? What do you do? I want to know the, you know. He eats a bowl of blueberries every single morning for breakfast. He's done it for 50 years. So you brought blueberries up in the beginning. So maybe there's something there with his brain, because he's sharp as a tack. So because of that, I eat blueberries now more. I'm like, maybe he knows something. That and walnuts are good, correct? You like walnuts for their brain power?
They happen to have really good fat in them. It's not like cheese or meat. They don't have a lot of saturated fat. So walnuts are good. They're a rich source of vitamin E as well as healthy fats. And nonetheless, though, don't feel like you need to eat a bushel of walnuts, because they are fatty and they are going to slow down weight loss. So here's my rule. Put them in your hand. Pour them in there, whether they're slivered or whole. Once they touch your fingers, that's more than an ounce. Put them in the palm. Once they touch your fingers, you've had enough. And then now, don't just stuff them in your mouth, because if you do, you'll refill your hand. What you do instead is, when they're in your hand, crumble them up and put them on your oatmeal or on your salad or something like that. Use them as an ingredient, not as a snack, and that'll protect you from overdoing it.
Great advice. Fantastic. In the minute we have left, anything else you'd like to share with the listeners that we didn't get to today?
I would just ask people to give this a try. If you have been beaten up by prior diets and you're doubting your resolve, I'm going to give you a gift, which is the easiest, diet you've ever done, because we're going to use science-proven power foods. Focus on the short term. When this book arrives in the mail, take 1 week. Don't give up anything that you're eating now. Just look at the foods, try some of them out, the certain things at the store, pick them up that I mentioned, and just see how you like them. If you don't like it, set it aside. You'll find the ones you do like. After a week, you got your list, and now give it 3 weeks. Eat these foods every day, and what you will see is that you're losing weight easily, and your attitude about food is changing, your tastes are changing, and you are embracing healthy foods. It will change your life.
Well said. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show again. Always a pleasure having you share your insights. The book is called The Power Foods Diet, the breakthrough plan that traps, tames, and burns calories for easy and permanent weight loss. It's available everywhere books are sold, or you can go to pcrm.org. And while there, be sure and check out all of Dr. Bernard's resources, including videos, articles, and wonderful recipes, and sign up for his newsletter so you can stay up to date with all the latest health news and happenings. That's pcrm.org. And you can follow Dr. Bernard on X and Facebook at PCRM and on Instagram at Physicians Committee. For my daily X and Facebook posts, follow me at Dr. David Friedman. On Instagram, I'm at Dr. D. Friedman. And if you heard Dr. Bernard share something today that maybe somebody you know needs to hear, send them a link to this podcast. It's available to yourgoodhealthradio.com or radiomd.com. And check out our podcast library while there and share these segments with friends, family, coworkers, and on social media. I always say sharing is caring. You can also subscribe to future podcasts on Spotify, Apple, and iHeartRadio. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.